Okay, whenever you are ready.
All right. Good morning, everyone, again. And calling the meeting to order, we'll start out with the roll call, please, Jamie.
Okay. Commissioner Briceño? Let's see. Commissioner Buck?
I'm here.
Commissioner Dobie?
Here.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Here.
Commissioner Kent?
That's terrible.
Commissioner Leach? Commissioner Leach?
Present.
Commissioner Lee?
Here.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Here.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg?
Here.
And Commissioner Wang?
Here.
Okay, we do have a quorum.
Great. And our first item up
is opening quote reflection. That is Commissioner Dobie.
Good morning, y'all. I am choosing to share something that I have been kind of meditating on lately, and it is about love. I feel like that is missing in a lot of the spaces that we can find ourselves in lately. So I'm just going to read it to you. You can sit back and enjoy and reflect with me. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's own achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. And I just wanted to share that with y'all this morning, because I feel like there's been an excessive focus on other ideals and other things. So in my personal experience, I don't choose to dwell on negative or things that are typically outside of my control. I focus on the things that I can control, which are my responses to the things that are happening around me. And I choose to respond in love.
Beautiful.
That's it.
Well said. Well
Thank
said.
You. Thank you, Tanya. All right, moving to the next.
Great. Item number three is monthly summary of commission activities.
This time I'm proud to say I saw my name on the list, and so I have my summary here. For those of you who have your activities sheet in front of you, you can join me in seeing that the monthly meetings to date, with a goal of 12, we've made 8. The annual report is we still have one to go, obviously. Police community reconciliation cases, where the goal was 20, we have to date 23. So ahead of the game on that one. Community police meetings, the goal was 4. We've had 3 at this point, but I'm guessing that in the coming months that may exceed even the goal. I'm gonna drop down to F, community outreach and relationship building meetings. The goal was 40. And to date, there is an outstanding 114. So kudos to who all is doing that. The other was support for hate crime victims. The goal was 8. To date, we have 52. And outreach efforts, speeches, presentations, that type of thing. The goal is 10. To date, we have 5. And community training on intergroup relations, the goal is 4, and we're halfway there with 2. And so far, no annual awards program, but I'm sure that's in the making. So that concludes that report.
Thank you, Dot. Okay, moving on to our next item.
Okay, next is open forum. So if anybody wishes to speak on anything on the agenda today, please hit *9 or the hand raise icon on your Zoom app. You will have 3 minutes to speak, and I will let you know when your time is up. So far we have three. The first one I saw is Mary Urashima. I will unmute you. Okay, go ahead, Mary. You're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Mary Urashima, the historian, nonfiction history author, and lead of the Historic Wintersburg Preservation Project the past 10 years. Historic Wintersburg in Huntington Beach is an endangered national treasure historic place representing over 118 years of Japanese American history in Orange County. I also help with the production of a PBS program that aired nationally and is now on Amazon Prime in the US and Japan about part of the history. By now, you've probably seen the news about the fire and loss of two of the six structures at Historic Wintersburg on February 25th. What was lost are the first and oldest buildings of the Japanese Mission Project in Orange County, founded in 1904. The 1910 Wintersburg Japanese Mission and its 1910 manse or parsonage. The National Park Service provided us with a report in 2013 that the property retains remarkable integrity, is eligible for the National Register of Historic Places under criteria A, Japanese American Settlement of the American West. And if you understand the arc of history for Japanese Americans, it is a miracle that this intact site remains. It is not only a rare and significant heritage site, but it is also a place of spirituality with great meaning. The mission is part of a multi-faith effort and was founded by Buddhists and Christians and different sects of Christians in 1904, Episcopalians, Methodists, and Presbyterians. I am receiving messages from the Japanese American community around the country, as is the city. They are asking me that this investigation of the fire, which may or may not be arson, be at this point, include a hate crime investigation. I'll explain. Beginning in early 2016, Historic Wintersburg was targeted with a disinformation and hate campaign on social media that included anti-Japanese and anti-Asian rhetoric and graphics. This continued over a multi-year period. It appears to be locally generated in Huntington Beach by a small group. It only takes a small number on social media. The frequency at times was almost daily from early morning until late at night. The production of graphics and that frequency on multiple platforms, it was a serious amount of time. It sometimes felt like someone was being provided an incentive or paid to do it. A blog called The Sledgehammer was created and had disinformation and anti-Japanese and anti-Asian references. The sledgehammer, as you know, is a reference to a white supremacy symbol. The masthead used an image of the old rising sun flag of Japan with an individual taking a sledgehammer to it. Their posts were shared on social media with platforms over 25,000 to 30,000 people in Huntington Beach with anti-Japanese or anti-Asian references, World War II references, and preservation is being photoshopped into things such as Japanese Zero airplanes. There also was a post with a graphic in January 2018 with an image of me and Historic Wintersburg with a quote, "We'll burn it effing down to a cinder." And on that graphic, I was tied up to a railroad track and being killed with a sledgehammer. I filed police reports and continued providing the police department with updates. I filed police reports when there was a threat made against me and there were more than one. I briefed an OC Human Relations staff member during this period, and this was all prior to the national spike in anti-Asian hate that we have been seeing and which continues. In that larger national context—
Mary, your time is up. If you can wrap up your comments.
Yes. I wish I could continue more. I can give you a list of the Asian sites that have been vandalized, including six Buddhist temples in Orange County. We are requesting a hate crime investigation, and I am happy to provide a briefing for any of you, and or if you can agendize me, you know, I would provide a briefing before your next meeting. but we need your help.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary, for being here today. And it's just deplorable what we've seen happen at Wintersburg, but also hearing all the incidents that you shared today. I don't even know what to say about you getting death threats, and it's just awful. And we will follow up on this. There are obviously hate crimes that need to be addressed. And thank you for sharing that. Does anyone else want to comment on it?
I'd actually like to comment as well. And I want to thank Mary for coming here to share what's going on right now. And I have to tell everybody, I am aware to an extent. I did get that phone call that Friday morning when the structures were on fire. And it was a total shock. And over that weekend, at first, we only lost one structure. But at the end of the weekend, we apparently lost two out of six. And as Mary said, this is a very significant site, you know, not just historically and heritage for our heritage, but most definitely for our spiritual significance. And within that neighbor, I have to add, this is the neighbor of Huntington Beach, Oakview. Oakview is a predominantly Latinx low-income neighborhood. So this is a much bigger issue. And I definitely welcome Mary to come back and definitely to be on our agenda and to share a lot more. And I hope that the commission here that we have present will support Wintersburg, will support the people and be behind this. And we need to take action.
Yes.
I would just like to add, this is exactly what public comment is for here at this commission, A and B. I think it is in the commission's purview, particularly the chair, to invite Norma and her staff to follow up to create a report for us to see so that if there's action to be taken. And in addition to that, Norma, if you could help Mary connect to the right police department and figure out how this investigation is going, I think that's a great role for our commission to play.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rabbi Rick. And thank you, Jennifer, also for your comments. And I agree. Mary, we would love to invite you back to be on the agenda so we can hear more from you and have a little bit of a discussion. Thank you so much.
We do have four more speakers. The next is Felicity Figueroa. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Disturbing comment we just heard. Good morning, Commission. Hope you're all having a good month so far. And I just wanted to bring to your attention a few things. First is a recent report from the ACLU on the Office of the District Attorney that calls for urgent, drastic changes to DA practices. It reads in part, in Orange and Riverside counties, outmoded DA policies and practices have contributed to skyrocketing incarceration rates, vast racial disparities in charging, and the criminalization of mental illness and poverty. Yeah. Orange County DA Ted Spitzer oversees an office that spends immense amounts of time and resources prosecuting low-level offenses. The volume makes their prosecution balance sheet look good, but these types of offenses pose little or no threat to community safety and may actually worsen long-term outcomes. Of the more than 259,000 charges made by the OCDA's office in 2017 and 2018, nearly 64% were the type of low-level offenses that should have been either considered declined to charge or diverted to community-based programs, including those for addiction and mental illness, unquote. As for race, it notes that while 2.1% of people in Orange County are Black, 5.8%, more than double, of people criminally charged in 2018 in the county were Black. The report concludes that activists and academics have highlighted the ways in which tough-on-crime policies exert social control over predominantly low-income communities of color. And then the report gives some suggestions to fix these very troublesome realities. I'm happy to send a link to the full report to the commission, and maybe this body could suggest to the BOS that there be an investigation into these practices. Secondly, I'd like to bring up the fact that the Orange County Budget Office is asking the public for feedback on what to do with the second part of the $616 million in federal COVID-19 bailout money from the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, of 2021, as federal officials are requiring more transparency about how the money is spent. The public must submit comments by the end of the day tomorrow. So this is our chance to make sure our tax dollars are used to improve what really matters to our community. Increased housing options, available mental and behavioral health services, support for comprehensive educational opportunities, preparation for future health crises, and other areas that are priorities for our communities. However, in contrast to the needs and interests of OC residents, the county's recommended discretionary budget indicates that the OC supervisors continue to prioritize public protection, including the DA's office, the Sheriff's Department, and the Probation Department, at the expense of local community investments. We need housing and community-based healthcare, not policing and caging of our community members. And this is our opportunity to let the BOS know. So please let your make your constituents aware of this to make their wishes known by tomorrow. Lastly, I wanted to call to your attention the presenting of the 2021 Truth Act form at the March 22nd Board of Supervisors meeting. This is where we see if the Sheriff's Department is actually abiding by the guidelines set forth in SB 54, the California Values Act, not to use county resources to do the work of federal agents. We need to make sure that all our community members are safe from actions deemed illegal by this act on the part of local law enforcement and the Sheriff's Department, which has already been sued at least once for their overreach in this area, a case that recently ended with a settlement. I hope we can all attend this forum and voice our support for the California Values Act and the use of our county resources for services that allow our community and all its members to thrive instead of live in fear. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Felicity. You came well loaded today. We appreciate you making us aware of several of these things. And, you know, you offer to share a link, and if you could get that to Jamie, we'd appreciate that so we can get that out. Thank you so much.
Our next speaker is David Duran. Go ahead, David.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to bring to the attention of everyone today, and good morning, but so far to date, since January of 2018 through February of this year, there have been a little over 1,255 people who have passed trying to survive and live on the streets here in Orange County. That's 1,255. And we know that those people, that there's more than that, because those are only the people that are counted and recognized. That being said, I have brought the idea to this room before that Orange County start to give serious consideration to move forward to making the unhoused a protected class. And we know that probably isn't going to happen for them personally, but the protected class that I'm asking for is to make the laws a lot more stringent for those people who might discriminate against them, et cetera, et cetera. There is some counties, some cities, and I think even a state that has recognized that to harm somebody who is unhoused, that the penalties for that are substantially higher. And that's what I mean by the protected class, because we know in California, there's already been a long history of discrimination through Jim Crow and what used to be known as the ugly laws, you know, the Annie Oakley laws and sundown towns and vagrancy and, you know, the active living ordinances. And today in this state, those people who are suffering from poverty, you know, and frankly, most of the time through no fault of their own, you know, they're being denied housing because of maybe how they look or because of their mental illness or, you know, they lose the right to go in and use a restroom. They lose the right, you know, they are the community of lesser rights, and that should never exist for anyone. So I don't know, you're the professionals, but I certainly would inform the board about everything that has been spoken before from the other public comments, and as well as maybe start moving forward to help save lives. You know, it's growing, you know, since 2018, but already this month, there's been 46 who've passed in February, another 46 in January, and that's more than double last year. Where does it stop? Because this county's not doing enough. This county's not doing what needs to be done. They're criminalizing. They're doing shelters, yes, but that's
David,
not.
Your time is up. If you can wrap up your comments, please.
Thank you, Jamie. But that's not housing, and housing and services is what this community needs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, David. And I know that there are efforts in place working on finding housing and getting people off the streets. Those numbers should not be, and we should not be looking at this many people on the streets of Orange County or anywhere really, but it's sad to see, and it's sad to see people get discriminated against because of their situation. So thank you so much for bringing that to us today. Anyone else?
We have Pat Davis is our next speaker. Go ahead, Pat.
Good morning. Yeah, public comments. It's delightful to have so many people in the room. My comments, Felicity covered many, Dave also too, because St. Benici continues to hold a memorial service the second Tuesday of every month. And 46 deaths in a month of February, 28 days long, is quite compelling. I did want to second the concerns about DA Todd Spitzer. I don't know how many of you are aware of the CARE Court, which Governor Newsom recently proposed, which was his idea of a solution to the unhoused. And in that, it would include coerced treatment, which we don't consider as care. The treatment plan issued under the court is not voluntary for the individual receiving treatment. And Governor Newsom has a plan that's rather draconian. The acronym, which is Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment, CARE Court, is certainly a wonderful concept, but the method of delivery is quite frightening. So I encourage you to follow Governor Newsom's CARE Act, CARE Court work that's coming forward. In Orange County, we have our own version of CARE Court. When I read the documents, I was sure that Todd Spitzer had probably authored great parts of that, because that is the approach he uses with our unhoused folks. Homeless court is not a great out for folks. It gives them opportunities to work off fines, that sort of thing, but it's quite punitive and lacks the services that go with it. And in terms of DA Spitzer and looking at an investigation, I'm sure you're aware that the Office of Independent Review has opened its own investigation recently on the court case that has become so public, which include biased statements on the part of Spitzer about the racial identity of the person accused and those who were in fact murdered. Some of those same behaviors seem to go in the reverse, because he's not holding the sheriffs who killed Kurt Reinhold in San Clemente responsible for his death for jaywalking while Black and unhoused in San Clemente. And yet he's going after with great vehemence Tatiana Turner for an incident in Yorba Linda during which sheriffs failed to support Tatiana as a Black woman trying to get out of a protest that was very Trump identified, very violent. Yes, people were injured in the process, but those of us who were there or witnessing in other ways realized that Tatiana would be dead today had she not gotten herself out of that place. That was not a healthy environment at all. In addition to the Truth Act and looking at also ways in which our sheriffs are continuing to cooperate with ICE is quite concerning. Our hearts all break. And thank you, Commissioner Dobie, for the reminder about how important love is. Watching the Ukrainian issues and the refugee crisis, I bring to mind that our country has not done its part, and certainly Orange County, in the ways we welcome certain refugees, who they are and what they bring to our county. So I'm hoping that all the good work that you're doing and attention drawn includes how we move forward as we take care of our refugees and folks of color. Oakview is one of those neighborhoods that's often targeted. And the sad news about what happened with Wintersburg is so painful. I miss that amongst everything else that's going on. Gosh, I had another one. Where was it? Got my deaths in. I'm hoping, and again, Dave brings up the protected group. That would be delightful if we could look at that and ways in which we can support that community. And care court cannot be the way to go. And the way it happens in Orange County already has many of those same behaviors. Be Well has become an entry point for folks who have mental illness, but it's sheriffs who are accompanying folks there. So again, the coercive part, and again, I've worked with some of the most difficult people on the street, and I certainly don't have the skills that those with mental health backgrounds do, but it's not easy, but that kind of coercion is uncalled for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. That was a lot and kind of a good summary of some of the other speakers. Thank you so much.
Our last speaker is Jamie Hyber. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Oh, she took her hand down. Do you still wish to speak? You do put, oh, there she is. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My name is Jamie Hyber. I am the executive director at Heritage Museum of Orange County. We, for those that are unaware, we are a cultural and natural history center. We are located in Santa Ana. In 2020, we officially partnered with Mary Urashima and brought her grassroots efforts officially under our 501c3 umbrella in the efforts to preserve historic Wintersburg. Our focus is usually to preserve, promote, and restore all histories and cultures in Orange County through education and community care. Historically, as you've heard today, our partners in the Asian American community as a whole who have made efforts to preserve and save this national treasure have been threatened and attacked. It's really, I'm just going to say it, it's very scary for all of us involved. And I think it needs to be very clear that aside from all of the information and facts, it is fearful to, we're full of fear. And I think you need to be aware of that. And there have been recently since the fire, specific things I have seen online on social platforms referring to this property and the structures as a rat's nest and things like let it burn, which is horrific. So I just want to share that I support the efforts to investigate this as a potential hate crime. I'm really grateful for your time and your care and attention, your comments earlier with Mary, and the opportunity to further share information and allowing us to guide you through where we've been, where we're currently at, and where we hope to go with this is appreciated beyond measure. Thank you to everyone that spoke in the public comments as well. There are clearly so many issues that need addressing and so many concerns throughout Orange County. However, it takes a lot of guts to stand up and speak. So I am grateful, and I'm grateful to all of you, and you are appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, Jamie. And as you mentioned, we do plan on giving this attention and, you know, getting back to you, and especially getting back to Mary and have her come to speak with us a little more. Thank you.
And I actually would like to also add a comment here that I want to acknowledge what Jamie clearly stated, that this is very scary and frightening for her and everybody else who are involved, because essentially this hate, you know, like, yes, we started out with love, but the reality is that we are surrounded by so much hate in this situation that people will take any measures, and they feel that, right, to silence them and to erase this history. You know, there's mention of, you know, what these structures are referred as, and I heard the structures are literally being referred as a shed, and we know what that means, right? Mm-hmm. A shed is things that you just throw things that may or may not be useful, right? But I really want there to be attention to the situation, because it is something that I think that the commission right now, over these years that we've worked together, this is something that we can address together. And I hope that there's resources that we can collectively offer, and also to work besides Mary, like next to Mary, next to Jamie, and to provide a sense of protection and confidence in what they're doing. Because I can hear it in them. They're very passionate about this situation, and they're coming to us. And I want to acknowledge just how brave and strong they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Yes, that.
I was wondering if we might ask of Mary and Jamie, for that matter, if when we do arrange for Mary to come and speak, and if Jamie is with her, I don't know. But I am wondering if they might provide either photos or a very brief video of the damage that has been done, so that we can, those of us that are in deep South County, can see the damage and can comprehend even more what is going on. And so that we have, we too have it documented then in the report that we have.
That's a great idea. Appreciate
Jamie,
it.
Jamie, Mary's hand is up. Can she speak?
Oh.
Comments are technically done. I mean, it's up to the chair if she wants to allow her to, although comments are done and she has more time.
If I might just add, I think we asked County Council for advice on this exact topic, and I just want to make sure that the group is all on board that we can do follow-up, but we shouldn't be doing follow-up with the commission members and this public speaker at this time. We can ask our executive director, Norma, to engage and bring back additional information and respond to questions specific to our board members. So if we could handle it in that manner, I think that would be best.
All right. So hopefully, Mary, you will connect with Norma soon, and we can get that follow up and get on top of this. And thank you so much for being here today. And is that all the speakers?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're moving on to the next item, please.
Item number four is review, discuss, and approve commission statement under commission letterhead denouncing anti-Semitic flyers distributed in different Orange County cities.
And Norm, Amy, are you, Commissioner Buck, are you going to present that? Or Norma, are you going to present that? Or I'm going to present. I didn't.
Norma's nodding for you to do it, but I'm happy to jump in and assist.
Thank you.
Do you want me to get us started?
Yes, please. Oh, you okay. Know what? I didn't. Sorry.
You're all good.
I kind of messed up on that one.
You're fine, Chair. So, good morning, everyone. So, as you may have seen in the news and in current events, there were some anti-Semitic flyers that were distributed throughout Orange County, focused in Huntington Beach, and I forget if it was Costa Mesa or Newport, but anyway, I thought it might be nice to have a statement that comes from the commission denouncing this act. The flyers were distributed throughout those jurisdictions, so it wasn't just at the homes of people who are Jewish, but it was basically, it was anti-Semitic. It was blaming Jewish people for COVID and the response with COVID. And I think we've seen throughout the pandemic, these kinds of acts that dehumanize one another and seek to cast blame. And I think throughout history, we've seen anti-Semitic incidences that have looked to blame when people have felt different ways of being out of control. So I put together for your consideration a statement for the commission to think about. Chair, am I missing anything or anything I forgot to say?
No, that's very thorough.
Thank you.
I do have the draft. I don't have it to share on the screen. I don't know, Norma, if you have it, but I can, I'll read it from here. According to, it's very small print. According to the 2020 Orange County hate crime. Oh, thank you, Norma. Okay. Oops. Okay. According to the 2020 Orange County hate crimes report, in 2019, there were 94 hate incidents and 12 hate crimes related to anti-Semitic discrimination. This is a 50% increase over the prior reporting period. Throughout history, during times of uncertainty, some individuals seek to cast blame. Recently, anti-Semitic flyers were distributed in neighborhoods in Orange County at the homes of our neighbors who are Jewish and are not. The flyers include language that blames the Jewish community for the ongoing pandemic. We have seen throughout history, including the Holocaust, when the Jewish community is stereotyped and thus have experienced hate, discrimination, violence, and death. Once again, hate was brought to the very places where we should feel safest, our homes. Hate speech and hate incidents must not go unchecked. Such actions perpetuate feelings of vulnerability, misunderstanding, and fear, not only for the Jewish community, but for anyone who may have woken up to having the flyers placed at their homes, which should be places of sanctuary and comfort. The pandemic has given rise to unprecedented numbers of incidents in which individuals are dehumanized and harmed. We must not let such acts go unnoticed or unaddressed simply because a hate incident is not a hate crime, excuse me. Once again, we pledge to work with the community to address the root causes of hate. The mission of the Orange County Human Relations Commission is to seek out the causes of tension and conflict, discrimination and intolerance, and attempt to eliminate those causes. We believe in everyone is right to live free of racism, hate, discrimination, and bigotry, not only in Orange County, but beyond. These types of repugnant acts of hate speech and racism demonstrate the need to assess our past, acknowledge past instances of hate, intolerance, and racism, and recommit to the promotion of tolerance, equity, and condemning all types of hate. Excuse me. If you have been a victim or know someone who has been a victim of a hate incident, please call our confidential hotline, 714-480-6580, or via our online portal at www.ochumanrelations.org/hatecrimes/report/ excuse me. Thank you, Norma, for having that up. Any comments? Excuse me.
May I ask, and I feel like I may have asked this before, but may I ask again where the statement will be posted, to whom it will be sent? Will it be handled as a press release? Will it be posted on our website and the council's website? Will it go to the Board of Supervisors? How we're having to do this virtually every month because it is so merited. But I still fail to understand how broad-based this is in getting our stand out there.
So to for this particular, and even the last maybe two instances, when these statements have been proposed, that have been proposed to be issued out under the commission letterhead. And if you see the commission letterhead has a disclaimer that this is the stance of the commission, not necessarily the Board of Supervisors of the County of Orange. So when it's proposed and approved that way, we're using, when I say we, it's OC Human Relations Council. We're using our own networks to distribute the statements. And OC Human Relations posts on their social media and on their website. The statements that the commission wants the Board of Supervisors to approve or the county to approve has the extra step. I think we have two or three statements that are currently on the commission website that were vetted and went through that process. And that's why they're posted officially on the County of Orange Human Relations Council webpage. And what that meant was the commission says, we actually want this to be officially distributed through the County of Orange. That means that the statement takes a little longer because now it has to go through County Council, the CEO's office, Board of Supervisors before to get approvals before it then comes back and says, yeah, it's ready to be posted. At that point, it just becomes a press release the county issues. Does that answer your question?
Norma, I recall, can't we do both?
You can, but as I mentioned before, the last statements that were issued, I was asked to put under the commission letterhead. The discussion around taking the extra step did not come up.
Norma, what is your estimate of what the average time is from getting this prepared, as Amy has done beautifully, by the way, Amy, and then getting it out there and having the maximum exposure of this information so that the public knows this?
So I'll share the window between when we first heard and there was a proposition about writing the statement. It's been 2 weeks, Amy, sort of. There was a discussion about calling a special meeting. Unfortunately, the timing somehow kind of fell off. I can't remember if someone was here or wasn't here. The thing is, it takes, even just writing and getting it here, it could take up to 2 weeks just for the statements to be under commission letterhead. Renee, I know that she's committed to assist in expediting if we do want the county support and approval. And that I could say probably takes about, if it's expedient, probably about 2-3 days. I think that's as fast as turnaround I've gotten from Renee in being able to get a statement issued by the county.
So yes. Are we talking about the possibility of it being a month, maybe even after the incident has occurred, and in some cases longer or not?
I want to say that in the last statements that the commission has issued, which has been really unprecedented compared to other, even before statements were issued, it's taken at least 2 weeks. It could take longer, but I think that the commission has been really good about being timely and being on top of it, that it has not, I don't see that it's exceeded more than 2 weeks in being able to issue a statement after the incident. Rabbi?
Yeah, can I just add that, please remember this conversation, hopefully in the next 2 months, the bylaws committee is going to come to you for approval of new bylaws, which will vitiate, I guess, much of this discussion. What Amy wrote is in keeping with much of the work that we're doing, and we're proposing a different process so that we can make statements that are immediate to events that take place, and not have to wait 3 months to say we oppose what happened 3 months ago in Huntington Beach or in Corona Del Mar. And the flavor of really the beautiful statement that Amy has authored here is in keeping with what it is that we're trying to do. And I don't want to say more than that, but just keep this conversation in mind, every element that you just said, the timing issue, the relevancy issue, the immediacy issue, and the meeting issue, whether you need a quorum or whatnot, we're really trying to address. And you know, just a public thank you to Renee and her staff for really working hard on this. So we think we're getting it right. So it'll address this very issue. So please just remember that.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Does anyone else have any comment on the statement? So, at this time, do we need a motion to approve this statement?
Yes, I make a motion.
Jennifer, thank you. Commissioner Wang, and a second. Rabbi Steinberg, thank you for a second.
Okay. All right, I will call Jamie. For the roll. Mm-hmm. Okay, Commissioner Briseño, Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Yeah.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Kent? Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, it passes.
Great. And thank you so much, Amy, for Commissioner Buck for working on that. That was just well stated and appreciate you. All right, moving to our next item, please.
Item number 5 is review and reconsider state of emergency under AB 361. And make findings to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19 as required by government code subsection 54959E3.
So are there any thoughts on continuing to hold our meetings virtually?
I'm still in favor of virtual. There's I'm surrounded by people who are getting sick and lots of little kids are getting sick. I'm still on the fence of just being, we need to be cautious. There's just too much going on and none of us can afford to get sick.
I appreciate Commissioner Wang's comment. It's interesting when you look at the data, and I'm a nerd, A, and B, I work in the area of COVID-19. So our numbers are where we were during the Delta surge. And even though it's substantially less than during the Omicron surge, anything that has a comparative element to it that involves the word surge suggests a lot in my mind. And so I agree with what Commissioner Wang said.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and agree for different reasons, because I think that you get more input with it being virtual. You can get people calling in from just about anywhere. They can call in and just leave their statement. They can call in and leave a public comment. And I think that's probably what's most critical about the work that is trying to be achieved by this group. That being said, I meet in person for all the rest of my meetings, except for my vectors meeting. But this one seems like it gets a lot of public input, and I think that that's probably very important right now. So I vote virtual.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Dobie. So I guess we will vote on it.
Yes, need a motion and a second.
I'm sorry. Someone moved that we continue to meet virtually.
So moved.
Okay, Commissioner Leach, and second on that?
I'll second. Breathe.
Commissioner Faruqi, thank you.
I will take the roll call. Commissioner Briseño, Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Oh, gosh.
Hostia. Yeah.
Commissioner Debbie? Yes. Okay. Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Kent? Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg?
Abstain.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Passes.
Okay.
Before you move on, Chairwoman Jamie, can you clarify, does that mean that the commission needs to hold a special meeting?
We will need to hold a special meeting because the April meeting falls on April 14th, and that is more than 30 days from today. So yes, we will need to hold a special meeting sometime in between.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're all aware that there will be a less than 15-minute meeting that we will have to call. Okay, and there will be announcements around that. Thanks, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, hopefully next week. Okay, our next item.
Item number 6 is bylaws ad hoc update.
That's me?
Yes.
So we're really working diligently. Dot and I have met several times. I have met with Renee and her staff. We are just down to the last few points to get ready. And Renee, correct me if I'm right on this process, to bring it to the commission and the commission staff for input. And then we'll take that. And then I'm sure that'll be a process to go back to make sure that what we're proposing or amending will be acceptable by county council. And then if it passes the commission, I think we take it to the board of supervisors for their approval. And then that could be a week, that could be 3 months, who knows, just depending on where we're at. But what we've tried to do, and I'll go into much more detail when we get to the presentation, is to address all the particular issues for the commission as a human relations commission, try to be in line with other commissions, but there are unique things that we do, like timely statements that we're trying to address. So, and a number of other things that we think are just gonna make the commission a lot more efficient. And the last piece, of course, is going to be about the structure of who our staff reports to and things of that nature. So, Dot, did I leave anything out?
No, you covered it beautifully.
Okay, Renee, anything I should add? Did I get the process right?
You were spot on with the process, absolutely. So thank you for that. I just wanted to clarify, when it comes to time for the supervisors to approve, we're not talking about a day or two. It needs to be done through official board meeting. So it's about a 6-week process to get it on the agenda. So okay. Have final approval, we'll put it on the board agenda, and it takes about 6 weeks from the date that we put it on to go through the entire process. It goes through our department process, the CEO's office, county council, the board offices, and then it's heard at a board meeting. So
I don't know if it's possible by the next board meeting to have a draft for the commission meeting, rather, to have a draft for everybody, but we are getting close. So it is a possibility, but 50-50 shot, but hopefully within 2 months, we'll have a draft for you for sure. And then the rest of that process will take place, but maybe we'll pull it off. We'll see.
I think we're getting very close. I agree with you. I think there were just a few things that went back to both you and Dot earlier this week that need to be clarified before we can finalize. But I think we're down to maybe like 5 items.
Yeah, so, I sent my response this morning. So
wonderful. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you for working on that. That sounds like a lot of work. So we appreciate it. That's the kind of complicated, hard stuff. So thank you to Rabbi Rick and to Dot and Renee and your team. All right, next item.
Item number 7 is commission staff reports, anti-hate expansion contract update, responding to hate roundtable with elected officials, healing from hate film screening, and responding to school-based hate incidents.
Thanks, Jamie. And looking at this list, I recognize that this list was originally for last month's meeting. So there's been some time that's happened, a lot has happened in the last 2 months. So I'll try to weave in more current updates as I go through. So first and foremost, I did want to have the opportunity to introduce our three newest commission team members who have come on board to assist us in the anti-hate expansion work. We only have two with us today. The other one is out, but I did want to give an opportunity for both Ginrich and Sarah to introduce themselves, share a little bit about the background, and officially have you all meet them. So I'm going to start with Ginrich.
Thank you, Noma. Like she said, my name is Ginrich. My pronouns are he, she, they, them. And I am the community building team's administrative liaison. So I've been working really closely under Norma and Maureen, but also doing a lot of supportive things for the rest of the team as well. So I'm really glad to be here. I just started about a month ago, and a little bit about me. I am from Fresno and Sacramento, and I just graduated from Cal State Long Beach in my graduate program in December. So it's a lot of changes in my life, but yeah, I'm really glad to be here. Great to meet you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginrich. Welcome.
Sarah?
Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Shikarvizu. I use she, her pronouns. I'm happy to be here today. I am working under this new contract as the subcontractor liaison. So I'm working directly with community-based organizations who are coming together to support victims of hate incidents and crimes with kind of wraparound services. So I'm assisting in their ability to do that smoothly, to communicate with one another, to have the support that they need to carry out their services. And so a little bit about me, I am from Orange County, kind of broadly. I've lived in North Orange County and South Orange County. And I have, most of my background is in higher education. So most of my career has been there. Amy, I know that you are from UCI, and I have worked in the Health Education Center, which I know that you worked in as well. And so that was a little bit after the time that you were the director there. So, but I've worked at UC Irvine and Chapman University, and then other universities in the state. So that's a little bit about my background and shifting to a nonprofit, but keeping the string of supporting communities and working toward equity.
Okay, thanks so much, Sarah. We're happy to have you here as well.
Thanks, Sarah. Something that she did leave out that she's doing is she's spearheading the work with 2110C around our new reporting form and the database, and you know how intuitive it is. Is it easy to access? So she's been working really closely with them to make sure that it's user-friendly, but also it's going to be collecting the necessary data for us to have a comprehensive report at the end of the year. So thank you both for being here. Yes.
Could I make a request at one of the next meetings to walk us through extensively the new contract and what programs we're doing, what positions we have? Welcome, by the way, to our two new staff people. So glad you're here, but like, I don't have any clue how the new model works versus the old model and who's doing what, and just walk us through maybe even a flow chart and all that. That would be super helpful.
Okay. I'll adapt the presentation I did in January to then add the staff. Lastly, Lionel Talavera, he's not here. He is the outreach and engagement specialist for this work. So he's going to be working closely with the marketing firm that we have already brought on board to help us with the multilingual, multicultural campaign. So I will, at the next meeting, we'll have a little bit more information, and he'll be here, so you'll get to meet him. But I did have wanted to make sure that I introduced Ginrich and Sarah to you all today. So I'm going to, for time's sake, I'll kind of move forward and provide a more comprehensive update around this contract next week with the presentation. So there's been several events that were hosted and some of our staff were a part of. The first one was the Responding to Hate, which was a roundtable that was organized with elected officials me had an opportunity to support in organizing this event and facilitating the conversations. We had Anise here, so you correct me if I'm wrong. I think we had about 15 or 20 different folks participate, elected officials from throughout Orange County participate, just talking about the impact of being targets of hate and the response and the commitment that needs to come from, the city, the support that some of these elected officials need to have once they do become targets of hate. So, do you want to share just a snippet of the outcomes?
Yeah, thanks, Norma. So, like Norma said, we had roughly around 20 people who came to the virtual event. This was specifically for those who may have been impacted by hate and wanted to share their experiences in response to it, as well as engaging in a dialogue on what support looks like for their individual city, what would happen if hate occurs or racial derogatory slurs or comments are made at public forums. How do we respond accordingly? So elected officials did receive resources on that as well in terms of what that would look like. And then they had an opportunity to engage with one another on some of their practices in their own respective cities, and then how they can partner with OC Human Relations moving forward to support community members as well as elected officials, because at the end of the day, they are also community members as well. So while they are supporting others around their cities or communities, we also need to support one another in that space. So that is essentially the meeting or the event. We also briefly talked about anti-expansion work or anti-hate expansion work. But is there any questions around the event or anything I can answer?
Thanks, Nee. I just want to...
I think Commissioner Wang, I'm sorry, had her hand up. Did you, Jennifer?
Okay. Yeah, I did. You mentioned that there was 20 attendees. Is that one per city, or how many cities were involved in that one?
There were several cities, or those who represent specific cities who signed up. There were some who weren't able to attend for whatever reason. So it was optional, but I can take a look at who attended and then identify some of the cities that were represented.
Yeah, I'd like to see which cities were present.
Okay.
Thank you.
So just to clarify, this event was hosted by OC Human Relations Council, and me was asked to come and help facilitate the conversations based on the data that she's been collecting throughout the year of the incidents that we have been hearing about. So I just wanted to put that out there. Commissioner Leach?
I was just wondering if if you're looking up this or if you know, did the elected officials include, for instance, school board members?
Yeah, there were those who support the school side who attended, I believe, maybe one or two.
Okay.
We did have support in outreach connecting to school officials, mm-hmm. but I have to take a look at who actually attended.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
If I remember correctly, we did have a couple of Board of Supervisor offices represented in that space. Not Board of Supervisors, but I think they sent some staff to the event. Thanks, Nee, for the update. Again, Nee being a superstar, she also was part of the Healing from Hate film screening that was organized. And this was a collaborative effort among several organizations. And we did have two commissioners that had been assigned in an ad hoc to help organize this and plan this event. I wanna say there was over 200 people registered for this event, and we had a little bit over 100 who showed up. And there was, of course, always technical difficulties But in the end, it was a really powerful event. I want to commend me and those who were a part of organizing this. I know that Commissioner Faruqi was a part of this, and Commissioner Buck as well were both on that planning committee. And I know there was long hours and a lot of thinking through what this would be, the best format it should be presented. But I want to say that the turnout really, really spoke for itself. And just a side note, this was through the Hate Crime Prevention Network. So I'm really excited that we were able. Sorry, my toddler just dropped something on my keyboard and muted me. So I just want to say it was a really great event. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to have future opportunities to do something like this again. Is there anything that the commission or Commissioner Buck or Commissioner Faruqi would like to say?
Yeah, if I may. Thank you, Norma, for that. And for Nee for doing a wonderful job. Appreciate all the coordination. And for Amy and other staff that were helping us on this. I think it came out very well. I mean, it was a very powerful documentary. I mean, I couldn't believe things that I was listening to, seeing images and how these people that came out of that situation and championing for a better community or issues addressing hate incidences and extremism almost. It was a very good piece. I got some input from people all the way from Wyoming to elsewhere that I had sent to a few of my list and that did watch. And it was very positive in that sense.
Yes, I think Norma said it. It was very powerful. Seeing that movie was just, well, you know, but it's just seeing it live is just hard to watch, but very important to watch. So thank you again to Nee and to Amy and for Fareed for being a part of bringing that to us and to so many people. It was really good.
I would just add, Chairwoman, if some of us have not seen it yet for whatever reason, timing wise and all that, I think it's important that you do watch that documentary. It's still there. You can view it at your own pace. And sharing it with us as well. I mean, it tells a lot. It resonates differently to each of us.
Thank you. The last part is responding to school-based hate incidents. I'm just going to generalize, just responding to hate incidents in general. It's been a busy, unfortunately, past 2 months. So when I was supposed to originally talk about this in the month of February alone, we responded to around 5 different school-based hate incidents, different levels. And some of them made it to the media. Some of them didn't. Some of them were high profile, others weren't. Fortunately, we do have one particular case that seems like we're going to have an amazing outcome. And it seems like the response that we offered opened up the opportunity for folks to connect, to listen, to share lived experiences. And now the school is really embarking on figuring out if they do want to have some type of programming on campus for not only students, but for faculty. So it's in the process right now, but it's one of the perks of our work in being able to get involved. It's incredible to see that there's commitment to really long-term change. With that, I mean, there's a statement of the firing. There's other different incidences that we've heard in different places, in schools, individuals. So I just want to say that when we look at our monthly summary report and we see that our numbers are much higher than our goal, you know, the reality is that there's so much more that's happening in the community that it's not being reported. So those numbers, we can't get deterred. We can't get, you know, lose heart because of those numbers. It either speaks to the fact that folks are standing up and are saying, we're not going to stand for this anymore. We're going to report it. And that means that the more that we're able to stand up against these type of actions, then now we're going to start discussing together, how do we begin to combat what's causing the root causes of these actions. So that's as much as I will share for now, because I really didn't bring the rest of the notes of the more current cases. But of course, as different instances come up, if we do need from maybe some of you to help navigate those relationships or information, we will. That's all in terms of my staff report. Thanks, Jamie.
Well, it's good to see things moving along as far as our you know, our proposal. And I'm so glad to see you've already hired the three people. And nice work, Norma. Looks like you're getting to it. Very nice.
Before you go on, I can't do this alone. So hats off to my team.
And your team. You and your team. Absolutely. Okay, next item.
Next item is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff, but I do not see our...
I couldn't make it today.
Yeah, so item number 9 is OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Well, yesterday was one of the highlights of this advisory council. And just to remind everybody, the reason we started this was because of what took place in Ferguson 6 years ago. And Sheriff Hutchins at the time, Rusty Kennedy at the time, and Pastor Mark Whitlock at the time decided Orange County ought to be proactive and not reactive, and create relationships so that when crises do come, it's not the first time we're meeting each other. And so I really want to give big shout out to the commission under whose tutelage this came to be, and our sheriff. Our sheriff is leading in ways that other sheriffs around the country are not. And on this particular issue, and, you know, an elected official, you can point to all different kinds of things. On this particular issue, the sheriff has said this: the nexus between mental health and criminality and substance abuse is so intertwined that he has a role to play here. And so Sheriff Barnes, taking the baton from Sheriff Hutchins in 2018, has really taken this advisory council to the next level. To wit, we had 200 people yesterday on a forum on mental health and faith.
Right.
Yeah, it was really incredible. And Bishop Van of the Diocese of Orange, Pastor Rick Warren and Kay Warren. I had a little small role, as I said, my friend Rabbi Andrew Paley from Dallas, who is the rabbi who responded as a chaplain to Colleyville in January. Marshall Moncrief of Be Well OC, the behavioral director of the HCA, spoke. Name is escaping me right now. Dr. Ronnie. And then the commander in charge of behavioral health in the Orange County Sheriff's Department, both on the custody side and on the patrol side. We had police officers there. We had chaplains there. We had lots of pastors, rabbis, and imams there. Bunch of people from the interfaith community, and it was, you can find it on YouTube. I can send you the link, or Norma probably has the link too. She can send out to everybody. It's 4 hours, but each lecture is more inspiring than the next, and the program just went really, really well. And as Jennifer said, I'm glad to hear there's buzz in the community about it. I am sure we will do it again. We also started our first Sandra Hutchins Memorial Award for Interfaith Service that we awarded to Kay and Rick Warren this year. So that'll happen every year. So that's not just the Sheriff's Interfaith Council is partners with the commission. This is as much our program as anybody else's program. So thanks to the partnership with everyone. And we have, you know, probably 150, you know, religious leaders on our email list. And this went broader, of course, but suffice to say, it was worth our time and investment, and look forward to doing it again.
Great. That sounds wonderful, Rabbi Rick. Norma, would you be able to get that out to us, the link for it? Because I would love
Yeah, I started watching it before this meeting, so I do have it.
Well, you have it up and ready to go. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I would love to see that. All right, next item.
Last is announcements.
Commissioner Leach.
Thank you. I have to scoot out in just a moment, so thank you for letting me go right now. Two items. The first is, and I know Rabbi Rick is part of this as well, Saturday evening from 6:30 to 7 in Aliso Viejo at Temple Bethel, which is located at 2A Liberty. There will be a candlelight vigil in support of Ukraine. And it is basically to raise our voices for peace and solidarity. And it has become a service of interfaith. I'll be speaking. I know Rabbi Rick, I saw, was on the outline as well, and other members from the community. So I am inviting others on behalf of Rabbi Kavod and Cantor Natalie. That's from 6:30 to 7. And it'll be outdoors, by the way, in the courtyard. So I'm assuming in that case, the masks may be optional. I don't recall. Do you? I don't either. So I assume with it being outside that there will be an opportunity to wear or not to wear. The other item that I'm bringing forth, and I'm actually going to kind of throw this back to Norma for a little bit more information for all of you, but I think some of you may have heard about Pastor Ivan Pitts being stabbed in his driveway. I believe he was stabbed some 7 times, his eye, his back, and his neck. I had received word from Gail Krause of the Sheriff's Department pertaining to this. And so when I contacted Norma and Joanne, we all talked about it and said, you know, do we need some type of letter of solidarity again for this, much like what Amy wrote previously? Or how do we handle this? And so we also said perhaps a card could be sent to Pastor Pitts and his family and to the congregation, just one of solidarity again and saying, you know, we hope that things, you know, work out. I did call the police department and spoke with a representative of the PIO office there in trying to gather information per Joanne's request. And in asking questions, it was determined that they were not investigating the incident as a hate crime. And so when I took that back to Norma in talking about it, we said perhaps then instead of the note of solidarity, that a card could still go out to Pastor Pitts and to the congregation. It is my understanding, and I'm going to let Norma explain this a little bit more, that apparently even a card requires approval from the council. I do not know Pastor Pitts, but I do understand that several of you have worked with him in past years. And so I'm going to kind of hand this off to those of you who know the situation a little bit better, but we did want to bring it forth so that if our commission wanted to act upon this and send a card, that we could get some type of approval. Norma, did I cover that the way we talked about?
So I want to just clarify for those who don't know, the incident did not happen in Orange County. It was in Long Beach. So it is outside of our jurisdiction. The reason why it became significant, at least for me, was because Pastor Pitts is part of the Sheriff's Interfaith Council. And many of us have...
Norma, you're on mute again.
Sorry. So many of us, he's part of the Sheriff's Interfaith Council. And many of us have interacted with him in that space and even outside of that space, and partnering in different events. So for me personally, it felt that it was important at least to recognize that he had been, you know, a victim of a heinous crime and violent crime at that. So when Commissioner Leach offered to do a little bit more investigation per Commissioner Woman, Chairwoman Matsuba's direction, once we figured, okay, there isn't really enough information, that it didn't really happen in Orange County, it's not being investigated as a hate crime, then is there at least a card that we can send to his family or to his congregation in Santa Ana, just saying, you know, you're in our prayers, you're in our thoughts. Once I did a little bit more research and asked about what the process would be for that, what I heard was that even something like that could be perceived as a commission statement and that it would require a vote. That's why the Commissioner Leach felt it'd be important to bring it here. Because I think that this hopefully is the last time this happens, but it could happen again. And at least the commission knows what the process is if and when we need to activate this again. So I see you unmuting yourself, Renee.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I echo what you're saying. And I think Rabbi Rick covered it earlier. We're looking, you know, through the new bylaws to address these types of situations so that we can respond as a group immediately. But in this particular situation and under these current bylaws, I think it would be similar to a statement. But it doesn't prohibit any of you from reaching out in your normal day-to-day to send a card, you know, to his family and or to his congregation, whatever you see fit in your non-commissioner title. So if you would like to send a card as the commission as a whole, we would need to put it on the agenda. And it sounds like we're calling a special in the next, you know, 2 weeks. So if you'd like to put it on the agenda and follow up, maybe you could send a card individually now if you so elect, and then maybe a commission card in the next 2 weeks would be appropriate.
And I just want to make a comment. Dot, you mentioned that, you know, some of us may have worked with, you know, Pastor Pitt in the past. And yes, we have, because of vaccination and other reasons, that when this occurred, I know that their official spokesperson in general is Kalita, which is their office manager and now executive director. So I would also echo what Renee said, that, you know, as an individual, whether it's, you know, individual or your organization, that you perhaps work outside of the commission to reach out that way. That I know that, you know, with everything that's happened, it was shocking. It was one of those things that it just echoed through the community within Santa Ana, within the faith-based community. Like, I have my own pastor who's all the way in India, and we were discussing what happened. And it didn't occur in Orange County, but it's still connected to Orange County, very much so. But I think that we definitely have to address this somehow. And I cannot wait until the bylaws are presented so we can figure out, like, how do we go about these things? Well, because it is unending. And yeah, we need to be steadfast and timely.
Thanks, Jennifer. I agree. I think him being, Pastor Pitts being a part of the Interfaith Council, that brings him in as part of our family. I mean, we work, you know, with them. And I mean, he works with us or whatever. And I think it'd be important for us to make a statement. So, or send a card or some reach out to them. So, as you pointed out, Renee, when we have our special meeting, we can address that. But,
Ms. Chair, this reminds me of a very quick story where a rabbi had a heart attack and the president of the board went to see him in the hospital. He says, Rabbi, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that the board voted that you get well. The bad news, it was a 6-5 vote.
Oh, my. Well,
yes, there's always a process, even for saying, I hope you feel better, you know. So I'm sure our vote, if we took one, would be unanimous.
It would be unanimous, definitely. But yes, I think, thank you, Renee. And as you said, we can each send out something individually if we like. But I think in the long run, we do need to send something as the commission. And thank you, Commissioner Leach, for bringing that to our attention earlier.
If I may, there is one announcement I do want to make.
Mm-hmm.
This Saturday, there will be a memorial service in memory of Mike Penn at 1 p.m. At St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Tustin. And I will be there on behalf of the commission because I will be presenting the certificate of commemoration that the county helped us put frame and print for his family. So I will be there that Saturday afternoon, and I will be presenting that certificate to Mike Penn's family.
Thank you, Norma, for bringing that up. I know Commissioner Dot Leach also mentioned that I'll be there. And Renee, thank you for getting that commendation or a thing for this family. I appreciate that.
That sounds great. So
actually, this I just want to make a real quick announcement. I know I mentioned it before, but right now in Orange County, the Orange County Healthcare Agency has an initiative, the Equity and OC Initiative, that I want to reiterate how important it is for as many individuals and organization to be at the task force meeting. It's every 2 weeks. We just had it yesterday. Yesterday, there was a lot of meetings back to back simultaneously. And we conquer and divide. I mean, I was actually still present at this OC Equity Initiative. And I encourage the commission and the public to look into it and somehow please participate. There's a lot of different ways to participate and be a voice at this table.
Thank you, Jennifer. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to say we are officially adjourned and look forward to hearing from us in a couple of days about the special meeting. All right, everyone. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day.
Okay, bye.